Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, friends. Happy Friday. Welcome back to another episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. I'm definitely very much in a state of gratitude right now as I am sharing this episode. I've just had so many different revelations go on in my life recently. I've been practicing mindfulness and tapping back into it. And for those of you who are not familiar with mindfulness and Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, I would definitely recommend it and add it as a source of great wisdom to manage your emotions, your approach to life, your day-to-day, your focus on being in the present. That's something that I certainly struggle with at times because I have a tendency to be a long-term thinker and I like to plan ahead. But I also know that, as my psychologist would say, what's the fun in the planning if you don't even get to enjoy the thing in itself, right? So that's something I've been extra mindful about. And the other day, let me grab the book. The other day, I picked up this book in the bestseller section. And again, because I have read quite a few of Thich Nhat Hanh's books, I felt compelled to pick this one up as well. It's called Peace Is This Moment. It is Mindful Reflections for Daily Practice. I've been reading a few pages each day. It's a nice, small, but slightly thick book that fits in my purse really well or fits in a bag really well. So I have been enjoying that. For those of you who have been listening to the podcast for a while, you might have recalled that I actually talked about mindfulness back in late 2022. And I got into mindfulness. I kind of forget how/why, but I know that after reading something about mindfulness and Thich Nhat Hanh's work, I went and bought a shit ton of books by Thich Nhat Hanh and read through them all, and they made a huge impact on me. And I noticed that, as a lot of things happen naturally, when we get comfortable, we kind of forget to practice and keep up with the muscle. And that's what happened to me with mindfulness. So I've been tapping back into it more. I noticed a change in pausing before I say something or being able to regroup myself to, you know, let's say if it's a situation where I need to apologize or I need to acknowledge where I was or I need to acknowledge that I was not in a great place or great state. I noticed that that mindfulness practice helps with that a lot. something that I loved when I was younger, and I still do to this day, it is Stoicism. And I resorted to Stoicism and the philosophy of Stoicism primarily to help with controlling emotions and not allowing emotions to overcome or overwhelm how I naturally would show up. So those two, Stoicism and mindfulness, are some of the resources and philosophies and practices I personally use to help improve myself. And like I'm acknowledging, it's something that I don't want to say I took a break from, but I took an ignorance to, I suppose, for, you know, it was less consistent than it was back in late 2022 going into 2023. So I'm grateful to be able to have the means to buy these books. I also like to gift them to friends, even the ones like that are in my library in my apartment. I just will give it to a friend that I feel like they could benefit from reading it. So perhaps I will do a giveaway one of these days on Instagram. If you're not following already, at What Fulfills You, and my personal one at Emily E. Duong, one of these days I'll probably post about giving one of his books away, because it's just made such a profound impact on my life. And I think with that being said, that kind of goes into the topic of today's episode, which is around learning to separate your thoughts and opinions and approach to life, and separating it from your parents and your family and those that all of us, we have a natural tendency to seek approval from and for. And it's a topic that came to heart recently because I was reflecting in gratitude in my mindfulness practice about where I am in life right now and how the hell did I get here, right? And I think back to when I was 18, this is where it all began, you know? To be fair, I have had a great childhood in the sense that I was able to do the things I wanted to do as a kid. I did sports, I did cheerleading, I did figure skating, I did tennis, I did field hockey, I did track and field, and had the blessing of being great at most of the main sports that I participated in. And, you know, had the blessing of having parents that take me to and from practice to invest their money into, you know, shaping me into the person and athlete I became. You know, I had that part down well, if that makes sense. But I remember a good friend of mine, Bree, she mentioned to me many years ago, she said, while we must give credit to having that aspect done well for us, right, as kids, we also have to acknowledge and can't push under the rug the different aspects of it, maybe the emotional side of it. And it's something that I realized, especially this is definitely going to pertain a lot to those of you who are perhaps Asian American, or you have parents or family that are from a different culture or possibly immigrated into the US. There's a lot of similarities I've noticed when it comes to different waves of emotional support from parents that come from, you know, a different culture. And for me, while luckily it was never, oh, we want you to be, these are fucking stereotypes, like we want you to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, they occurred in different ways. And so going back to when I was 18, when I was ready to prepare to go to college and whatnot, one of the biggest hurdles, I guess you could say, for myself and particularly for my mom was around which school I was going to go to. And I've shared this before, but long story short, it was the fact that most of the schools I applied to were in Southern California, so I was very set on that direction. I knew that that was what I wanted. Great practice for adult life. And My number one school at the time was USC. I dreamed of going to the school. I really wanted to go to USC. It's a very hard school to get into. And I got accepted through this Trojan program, if I recall correctly, where I would be going abroad for a year for my freshman year before I come back to the main campus. And I think it's also under a contingency of, I think, having a 3.7 GPA at that abroad school that they partner with, and I think they would send you to. So I, at the time, I was 18. I was trying to decide what I wanted to do. And you know what? My gut feeling called me to UC Irvine. I said, UC Irvine was not my top school. It was not really my top choice, but I was called to it. I went to Orange County and I was like, you know what? I think this is where I want to go to school. And I went there for 2 years, and that's where I met and dated my first boyfriend. And it's my first serious boyfriend and the one that I dated for about 4 years. And I'm just smiling, thinking back to, wow, like my life when I was 18. And, fast forward, after the first 2 years, I decided I wanted to transfer. And I ended up transferring to Chapman University, which is where I graduated from. And, not to get into the nitty-gritty of things, but my college experience, the people that I met, the friends, the people that are present in my life today. I was even talking about this with one of my girlfriends who's also in my sorority. She's a year younger than me. We were talking about this in Central Park the other night. And, looking back, despite USC had been my top choice, I would not change my decisions knowing what I know now. I would have still gone to UC Irvine and transferred to Chapman. And it's something I bring this up because maybe there's a parallel example in your life with maybe a parent or relative where, interestingly, you guys, 8, 9 years later, my mom, a parent of mine, still brings it up in very interesting ways. She'll bring it up in, for example, if I travel to Europe a lot, she'll be like, oh, you see, I always knew you wanted to go to Europe. You should have just studied abroad that 1 year. And it's fascinating, right? How, there are certain things in life that I believe parents fundamentally know better for children. But there's also at a certain stage, a certain transition part in life as kids become adults, where their sense of self becomes more clear and they start to be able to have better wisdom and insights about what direction would be better for them in life. And perhaps I faced or was able to have that insight earlier on in my life. But at the age of 18, I just knew that despite what I thought I wanted, which was to go to USC, I didn't value it enough to want to put myself through a school abroad and then, come back and go to USC. Like I just didn't value it like that. And so that's something that a parent of mine, my mom, we disagree on still 8, 9 years later, even after my decisions have already been made. And so I set this as a foundation to this story, you guys, because, throughout college, I made other decisions that, once again, didn't really quite fit the box that my parents would have wanted me through, or maybe particularly my mom. I worked part-time in college. I worked as a tutor for this family, a pretty well-off academic-focused family, and I worked with their kids from they were 8, and I worked with them until for about 4 years, so from 8 to 12 years old, which was a beautiful thing to experience. I also coached part-time. I was a figure skating coach at this ice rink close to my university, and then I was working on my business as well. And so was also doing content creation, was taking photos, whatnot. And all of that was, again, not what perhaps just my parents envisioned my life would be. And as I did those things along the years, and made those decisions for myself and leaned into my interests and leaned into my passions, that's how I gained the confidence of knowing what Emily wants and knowing what Emily feels best in, right? Our parents, they can only see things from afar, right? And of course, in their own colored lens. But we as people, the sooner we make decisions on our own without their influence and without their judgment and just taking charge of our life and what we want, the sooner we can build that muscle of being like, you know what, I've done this before, I've made my own decisions before, and I trust my judgment and I have faith in my own judgment that this is also the right call. And I share the relevance of that because even after college, I know that my mom in particular had fears and anxieties around where am I going to work and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I ended up getting my sales job at a Fortune 500 company. Like it all naturally happened. And I was very much ready for this change in my life. I was ready for the opportunities that were to come. She also didn't, you know, once I transferred universities, she was like, back then, she's like, see, I told you, you shouldn't have gone to this other school. And in my head, you know, I don't put weight or energy on the things that I can't change, right? And I don't regret going to the other school either, because that's also where I met my first partner. And he was awesome. It was a great relationship overall. It just, you know, interestingly, I did at one point see us potentially actually, you know, walking down the aisle together. That's for sure. That's for sure. But I think in the end, I had a grander vision of what I wanted to do in life. And I don't think that that was natural to him. And, you know, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure he's still in his home city, hometown in Southern California, which is totally awesome. But again, different lifestyles, right? And so, you know, this also fast forward to when I was living in Orange County, California. So those of you who don't know, it's about 45 minutes south of Los Angeles. And I lived there for 5 years, obviously for college and a little bit after college. And then, you know, the pandemic hits and my corporate job, we go remote. I was working in sales. Some of the best moments in that job was in person with my incredible teammates and coworkers. And you know, that gets taken away. And basically, mid-2020, I go, you know, I think that I want to move to LA. And I've shared this on a recent episode before. It actually was inspired by a guy I was dating at the time. But it was a great decision. The idea and research and then execution, including apartment hunting, all of that happened in a span of 3 weeks, right? Like snap of a finger. I put in my 30-day notice and I moved to LA. And once again, it was something that this decision was very, very against, particularly my mom, what she wanted. And it was at that point in my life, I was 23 years old, where I realized that I've made so many amazing decisions in my life from 18 to 23 that this one, I just trust. I just know that this is the right call. I knew that I wanted a change in environment. I knew that LA had a lot to offer to me. I knew I'd feel inspired. And my gosh, after the move, you guys, I remember telling myself, damn, I wish I moved here sooner. But looking back, I don't know if moving there sooner would have been the right time either. So, you know, as sad as I am that I only had a chance to live there for like a year and a half, it was amazing. I mean, like, fuck, I miss LA sometimes a lot and I miss that apartment so much because it's just great times, great memories, and it was a great home. I'm just sitting here reminiscing right now, but where I'm going with this thought and with this podcast is, you know, I can always at least reference it to my own life. And I think that's the most helpful way I can share any lesson or any insight is how it's worked out in my life. But what I've noticed, and again, this is also obviously in particular for those of you who have that kind of friction with parents, right? For whatever reason that may be, but there's a level of disagreement with how you're living life and how they want you to live life. And like Gary Vee says, if you're on their payroll, right, if they're funding your life, well, that's a different story. But that was when I realized the power of independence and financial independence and realizing that, well, parents, if I make my own money now, you can't tell me what to do. And I remember that didn't sit well with a parent because they're like, shit, we're losing control, right? And that's true. Like, money is power. Money speaks. And if I can make my own decisions and live in different places and can afford it, there's no one that's going to stop me, right? And I look back and think about what life would have looked like, where I would be now had I listened to parents or authority or, again, in places that did not make sense, right? Which is my life, my route of my path. I don't know where I would be. I can definitely say this with certainty. There'd be a lot of resentment. There would be a lot of internal agony in a way where it's like I did something because I wanted to please someone else, but it didn't please me, right? And at some point in life, you'll come to the crossroads of who do you live for yourself or for your parents? And that's why I love when I get to interview founders and when they talk about some cultural, gaps between them and their parents or whatever that looks like. And a lot of other people have gone through it as well. And that often is not just in basic decisions like which city you're living in, but it's also going to be like, oh, who you're dating and what you're wearing and how you're speaking and all of it. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I have become more attuned to the idea that it is perhaps through these experiences of hardship and lack of easiness in that area of my life in particular. Okay, not to say that other parts of my life hasn't come a little bit easier, but in that part, which is my friend Bree would say, like, you don't see the physical wounds from it. You don't see the physical impact, but the emotional impact, it's a lot, right? And I've come to recognize even through the way I give advice or insights to my lovely friend Anya. She's so cute. She's second year in college now, going to be a second year in college. And we met at figure skating. We met because of teaching at this ice rink in Central Park almost 2 years ago now. And we met each other at a time where we were both kind of struggling in different ways. And it's just so profound how we came into each other's lives. And I'm about 7, 8 years older than her. And I noticed that the way I, you know, deal with her and in a great way, like as a friend, but also when she's like, you know, your perfect teenager who also has her own strong opinions, right? And I remember I was kind of laughing when I did this with her, but I was like, you know, I'm not going to force you to believe what I say or think this way or whatever. And that's the thing, though, too, is I know you're going to experience this once you hit the real world, such as college and beyond, but I'm also not going to give you judgment either. Like, when you experience it, you'll experience it. And when you know, you'll know. And at that time, too, I will be here and still be by your side as your friend. And I've been able to see that come to fruition in this past year, seeing how, you know, she'll come to me after experiencing her first year of college being like, okay, you were right here. This was right. And I tell her all the time, I don't mean to be right. I don't care about being right, but I'll tell you certain realities about college or friendships or relationships or things just because I'm 7 years ahead and also in your generation in a way, right? I can tell you and share with you in a loving way, and also know that you might not see it until you experience it yourself. And it's been profound because I realized that perhaps it is through those difficulties in my own experience with, generational and cultural differences with parents, that I may be a teacher because of that. I may be someone that helps people through life because of those experiences and emotional hardships that I have experienced through romantic breakups and through friendships and then through the family stuff, right? I have, for better or worse, experienced a good chunk of that in my 20s to get to this point in my life now where I work with people really well. I do great in business. I understand people. I understand how to actually build relationships. I understand the importance of staying connected to friends and actually giving them a call. And I understand the importance of, I think overall, living for myself and helping other people realize, hey, you know what? It's your life. You're designing your life. You are the CEO of your life. You are in charge of the outcome, right? So as hard as it is, we must make decisions where we live for ourselves and what is best for us and best for our vision and our future. And as your life progresses, it's going to be probably also with, okay, what is best for me and my partner, or what is best for myself and my family, like your family, like whether it's kids or whatever that looks like, you know. I'm grateful in an interesting way. I'm grateful to be able to share this with you guys, to share how I would not be an entrepreneur living in New York City, having the blessing of being financially independent as an entrepreneur and self-employed, all of that on my own and traveling everywhere that I go. You know, I wouldn't have been able to be here had I listened too much to what other people, particularly parents, thought is and was best for me, right? So I hope this episode gives you some thought-provoking insights and courage and motivation to step out of whatever shell that you need to step out of and be more you. And be attuned to what you want. Be attuned to what Emily wants, what is best for Emily, right? And there's gonna be a lot of people that disagree with you along the way, but remember, you're the one that wakes up with yourself every day. You're the one living this life, right? So why live it according to what other people believe is best for you, when in the end, the outcome of the decisions actually just affects you and how you feel. So just be mindful of that. I hope this episode was enjoyable. As always, please be sure to rate and review the podcast. If you're new or if you've been listening for a while and you never rated the podcast before, you can rate and review on Spotify or Apple. It just takes a few minutes, or not even a few seconds, you guys. So it would mean the world to me. And check out the podcast merch, especially the best-selling card game, which is very thought-provoking, great conversation starter, great to bring to picnics and all that this summer. You can find everything online at whatfulfillsyou.com. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next one.